Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
Okay, so we are going to do a little different. We're going to do a short video from Village Missions, from John Adams, the executive director. He's going to share a little bit about the conferences that we were at and about the state of the mission. And then I'm going to share a little bit just reflecting on the conference that we were at as well and kind of what we learned and did from that. So we'll start that.
Greetings from Village Missions. We've asked every Village missionary to share this message with you, the church that they've been called to serve. We want you to know that we appreciate your investment in sending your Village missionary to staff conference. At our staff conferences, we focused on what it takes to be a faithful leader, someone who is effectively serving Christ long term. And you helped your missionary get there, so thank you for your investment. We want to thank you for your partnership with Village Missions. You are on the front lines of the work God has called us to do, serving in rural communities, small towns. You're living out your faith where God has placed you, and you're a part of His work in reaching people who would not otherwise be reached. You already know that church planters and denominations are not sending people to the community where you live. But Village Missions is convinced that God has commissioned us to make sure that the gospel is alive and well, visible and spoken in the community where you live. And in partnership with Village Missions, you're helping that happen in 187 communities across the United States. Thank you for your partnership with your missionary and with us as a mission. The most important part of that partnership is how you're living out your faith. As you love your families, as you raise kids if you have them, as you interact with your friends and your neighbors, as you're a citizen in your community, you're demonstrating the power of the gospel. As God changes your character, as He grows you towards maturity, people are seeing real life change. And God uses that to persuade them that the gospel is worth believing. The Apostle Paul spoke to a church in Corinth, ordinary people who were living out their faith where God had placed them. And many of the things he said to them are exactly what you and I need to hear. God has placed us as ordinary people among folks who don't know Christ yet. So let's take a look at that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, last few verses from 26 on into the start of chapter 2. Beginning in verse 26, remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And He chose things that are powerless to shame those that are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God chose in the first century people that were not influential, not the most wealthy, not the most powerful. And yet those are the very people God used to turn the world upside down. He's doing the same thing today. He invites ordinary people to follow Him with their whole heart. We may not be the most influential in our nation. We may not be the people everyone aspires to be, but we can be exactly the people God is using to prove to the world it's not our wisdom, it's not our wealth, it's not our intelligence that qualifies us to spend eternity with Him. It's a recognition that we need what He alone offers. So the Apostle Paul said that to the church in the first century in Corinth. And then he went on to say, because God is using people like us, ordinary people, as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. And then he lists those things God has done for us through our relationship with Christ. He's given us better than the world could dream as we put all of our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ has made us right with God. He's restored a relationship. He's made us pure and holy. He's changing our character. and he's freed us from the power of sin. He's broken the stranglehold that sin had on us, and he's set us free so we can live lives that point others to Jesus Christ. Therefore, scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord, or boast only in your relationship with the Lord. Have confidence only in your relationship with him, not who you are, but who he's called you to be. As he invites us into that relationship, God enables us to be the kind of witness other people can see and believe. And in fact, he sends us out. Paul immediately moves into that next section in chapter 2. They didn't use lofty words or impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. Instead, I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling. My message and my preaching were very plain. And then he goes on to say, I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. So God is calling us as ordinary people to go to the communities where he's placed us, to share the hope we have in Christ, to do that as people who are being transformed by the work of his Holy Spirit. And our job as folks in those communities representing Christ is to just point to the Jesus we know. We don't have to have flowery words or impressive speech. Instead, we can simply testify to the Jesus we've trusted and the work he's doing in our lives. God has placed you in a community for more than just being a church family. He's placed you as his instrument to reach your friends, your neighbors, your whole community with the good news of Jesus. In many places where we serve as a mission, where we have a partnership, one of the questions to ask would be, who would tell the folks in this community about Jesus if this church didn't exist? In some places, there are other churches teaching the Bible. But is it possible to have too great a witness, too effective a witness to the gospel? That's our mission as Village Missions, to go to places other people are not going. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said he was going to send people to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. In the first century, Jerusalem was the city. 50,000 people in the city at that point. And Judea is surrounding that city. So in our day, Jerusalem would be the big city and Judea would be the suburbs. And church planters are going to both of those places. That's excellent, but that's not what we do. We believe God has called us to Samaria. It's a place other people aren't going. In the first century, Samaria was a place for outcasts. No Jewish person wanted to go there. There was religious animosity and ethnic division. That's not the same today, but church planters are not going to rural communities. Denominations are not starting new churches out where Village Missions has been called to serve. We're convinced that the people in rural communities also need to hear the gospel and see it lived out in a way that they too could turn to Christ. So that's what our mission is about, and you are on the front lines of that as a partner church with us. I want to give you a quick update about some of the things that are occurring with Village Missions right now. You can see by the map that we're in partnership with 187 fields across the United States. You can see by the chart that over the years we've seen a decline in the number of fields that have partnered with Village Missions and the number of missionaries. And there's a gap, 165 missionaries at the start of this year, 185 fields. We've increased by two fields. One left us and we've added three more so far this year. One of the changes we're making to improve our retention and the length of time missionaries serve with us is to increase the district rep's ability to connect with missionaries in their district. We did that by moving from 6 districts to 8, reducing the number of missionaries that a DR cares for. And that's intentional. We want missionaries to serve long-term, effectively, to be healthy emotionally, spiritually, and relationally, and to live and to serve in their community in a way that makes a difference over many decades. One of the new changes we've made is a partnership with Peace Haven Ministries. In 1996, Village Missionary Bill Wayland launched Peace Haven Ministries, and it's ministered to hundreds of Village Missionaries over the years. This year, we've increased our level of partnership with them, and we're moving from reactive in terms of caring for missionaries who are struggling to expanding that to investing in the lives of missionaries early on in their ministry career with Village Missions. They'll be invited in small groups to come to Peace Haven for some proactive coaching between years 2 and 3 of their service with the mission. We want to help people as they're beginning to see challenges, get things lined up so they can serve faithfully and effectively long term. Our greatest need across the mission is new missionaries. And we have several avenues where we're looking for those missionaries. Contenders Discipleship Initiative is one of those. We have 27 folks who've completed Contenders and served as a missionary, most of those continuing to serve right now. But there are other folks in that pipeline preparing to serve with Village Missions. Second new development is an on-ramp partnership with 3 different Bible colleges, Calvary University, Frontier School of the Bible, and Montana Bible College. At those 3 schools, students will be taking 4 credit classes during their training. They'll take some internships in the summer, and we anticipate that that will be a good source of missionaries who can serve with us long-term. And then we're online, we've partnered with Christianity Today and the Pastor's Edition, and we rely on word of mouth. And maybe there's someone in your church family who knows someone who could serve effectively as a Village missionary. We'd love for you to help us connect them to Village Missions and the possibility of serving God with us. Because we're partners together in ministry, we believe you need to know how things are going financially. God is blessing us. He's provided every dollar that's needed to do the work of ministry at this point. And you can see by the chart our income in the last fiscal year that ended in 2021 was $8.9 million. 47% of those resources came from partners of Village Missionaries. Another 20% came from partners for the mission as a whole. 17% of the resources came from churches that are served by Village Missions. 7% from Village Missionaries, and then 9% from some other sources. And then I want to show you how those funds are spent. Our expenses in 2021 were $7.8 million. 67% of those resources went directly to Village Missionaries. And then there's some additional funds that benefit Village Missionaries. 8% for the District Representative Mission, another 5% to pay down our pension responsibilities for Village Missionaries and retired Village Missionaries. We made a promise many years ago in our defined benefit plan to missionaries who would retire. And that obligation is something that requires ongoing contribution from Village Missions. We've taken steps to limit that, and one of these days, all of the funds needed for missionaries who have retired and will retire will already be stored up in investments, and we will no longer need to contribute to that. But right now, that's 5% of our budget. 3% to staff conferences. That makes a total of 83% of our expenses going directly to benefit Village Missionaries. Another 2% went to CDI and retirement apartments, 5% to stewardship, and then 10% to overall administration of the mission. Since 1948, Village Missions has had a singular purpose: to focus on communities where no one else is going, to make sure that there's a credible gospel witness in those rural communities and small towns. We do that by sending, coaching, and encouraging a Village missionary family to lead the way in caring for the church and reaching out into the community with the gospel. You're a church family in one of those communities. You are a part of God's work. Ordinary people commissioned to take an extraordinary message. The good news that God actually loves you, He wants a relationship with you, and to take that and to share it in ways that your friends and your neighbors can hear and believe. So let me encourage you. One of these days, Christ will return, or He'll call you home. Be intentional about living out your faith and sharing the hope you have with the people God has already placed in your life. You are where you are for a reason, a divine reason, a supernatural reason. So we want to encourage you as partners of Village Missions to live out your faith in a way that will change eternity.
All right. Well, as many of you know me, my memory, or lack thereof, myself, and combine that with the way that the last couple of weeks have played out, is the exact reason that they've asked, Village Missions has asked us to share that video, to set aside a Sunday after we return from our staff conference to share that, to share the state of the mission, to take a few moments to share our reflections on what we learned or what we took away or were blessed by at that conference. If I were to come back and we just had regular church service after we came back, then I'd be able to share some of that with you. If we came back and, you know, we came back sick, so we haven't had church in 2 weeks. A lot of that, if I'm not actively, purposely reflecting on it, trying to share with you guys, could easily just slip out of my mind and would not be able to take that and enact that in a proper way. So this helps me remember and to apply what we were taught, helps to strengthen the connection between our church and Village Missions and between each of you and Village Missions to remember who they are, why we're here, their investment in this church and your investment in missions in rural America across the United States. So the theme for this year's staff conference was faithfulness. And I keep hearing from the Princess Bride, faithfulness, enduring faithfulness. And we focused our week together, as John Adams said, on us as village missionaries, as missionary pastors, staying faithful long term. Us living out and working out our faithfulness, having and keeping that faithfulness long term, and finally staying and finishing faithfully. You heard him talk a little bit about the ways that Village Missions is trying to assist and proactively help village missionaries stay and finish faithfully. We saw some of the things that they are implementing. They mentioned Peace Haven. That's something that Hope and I have been able to utilize when we went up a couple of years ago to do some fundraising up to Oregon and Washington and meet and stuff like that. We were able to take a week off and go visit. It's up on Camano Island in the northern Washington, out in the middle of nowhere, beautiful area. And they have two houses on, I think it's like 5 or 6 acres. One is for like a couple or a family with one kid, and one's a bigger house we stayed at. And it's just a beautiful setting. Peace Haven is the right name for that. And so that's a resource that is available to Village Missionaries. And they're expanding that as well to help the missionaries. One of the stats, I forget the numbers that he said, but one of the stats he shared with us at the conference was that something around 60% of missionaries that leave Village Missions leave due to retirement. And they'd like to see that number closer to 75%. There's always going to be people that are called away or there's going to be burnout or depression or moral failures or any other number of reasons that pastors leave the ministry. But Village Missions is trying to limit that as best that they can in proactively investing in the churches, the district representatives coming around here, and in the missionaries themselves. So that I know here in Bangor, we've had a number of Village Missionaries who, when they left Bangor, they left the ministry. And so you know the importance of that investing long term in keeping people involved in ministry. So one of the biggest takeaways that I had from this conference, there was a theme that ran throughout the various speakers and the sessions. And ultimately that theme was that we are called to be faithful, but God is the one that is in control of the results. We have a calling on ourselves. We have a calling for what we are to do, but we don't have the weight of the responsibility of what the results will look like. That part is in God's hands. John Adams taught on Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I had Frank read that this morning, and I want to take a quick glance at that and share some of those things. I'm going to reread it as well. And it reads, "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses,
made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That was not the theme verses for the week, but that was that section of verses summed up the themes that ran throughout the week for sure. One of the things is that we cannot be counted faithful if we know all the details and we know the outcome. That's not faith then that we are stepping out in. Yes, we know the outcome in terms of our salvation and where we end up and God wins. And we know that those sorts of outcomes we know. But in terms of the everyday and the result of our faithfulness, our obedience, we don't know the results of any of that. We don't know the outcome. We don't know what that will look like. Ephesians 2 tells us that it's all about God. God is the one who chose me. God is the one who pulled me out of my sin. God is the one who called me to follow him and to be faithful. God is the one who brought me from dead in my sin to alive in Christ. God did it all. When we decide to be faithful, when we decide to follow him, we don't really know what we're getting into. We don't know what that actually entails. We have ideas. We have a vision. We have some experience as we live. But in reality, we have no idea what the next day is going to bring. When I decided that I should start attending church with my roommate at the time, I didn't know where that was going to lead. I didn't know where God was bringing me. When I decided that since I believed what the Bible says, that I should probably read it so I know what the Bible says, I didn't know where that was going to lead me. I didn't know the doors that was going to open and the doors that it was going to shut. When I decided to attend Bible college, I didn't know what the results of that would be. When I married Hope, I didn't know I knew that was going to be a blessing. I knew that was God's will, but I didn't know what that would end up looking like. When I graduated and decided to go to graduate school, I didn't know where that would lead. I didn't know what that would look like. When we discovered and applied for Village Missions, we had no idea what that would entail. When we ended up in Masirak on our first field, no idea the ups, the downs, the successes, and the trials and tribulations that would come with that by being faithful and following God. And when we accepted the assignment to come down here to California, we had no idea that it would be such a perfect fit, that God knows what he's doing more than we do, that again, the successes and the trials that would come with pastoring here in Bangor. We had no idea. We had ideas, but when we look back on it, we had no clue where God was leading us, what he was doing through us, what our faithfulness would end up looking like. And the point is that all of these steps were a part of being and staying faithful, a way of staying faithful to God and his call on my life and on our lives. Each of you has that story, those different steps that God has said, take this step in faith. We have, okay, so God must be calling me to do this. He must be bringing me to this spot. He must be doing this. Probably not, but take that step in faith. Because where he's leading is going to be better than what you expect and what you anticipate. And the point we, again, that reality that we don't know what's after that step. And that's why it is stepping out in faith and being faithful. That's our call. That's what God calls each of us to do, to be faithful, to stay faithful. And that's what John was saying in there is that call for each of us to live out our faith, to show our faith in our community, to our friends and our family here, who otherwise may not have any opportunity to see what real faith looks like, to see what the results and the consequences of true faith, the changing of a life, the way that it affects those of us that are living this faith. Those people might not have an opportunity to see that if you and I don't go out and live that out in this community. And so that's what we are called to do as a church family and as individuals, as a body of Christ. We are called to live that faith in public to those around us so that they can see what faith looks like. Now, there's even better news than that as well. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That doesn't sound like good news at the beginning of it. I can't do it. Not on my own. I can't stay faithful. I can't be faithful the way God has called me to be faithful. Not by myself. But God will remain faithful. He will stay faithful even through our failures, our trials, our slip-ups, our through our sins. Even if we don't live our faith out perfectly or correctly, or if we miss an opportunity, God remains faithful. As we cry out, I believe, help my unbelief, he gives us that. And as we have moments, and maybe more than moments, of faithlessness, he remains faithful. And when I remember, and I know, when I truly remember and truly know that the results are in his hands, that yes, we have a call. We have a call to be holy, which we cannot fulfill on our own. But we have a call to be holy. We have a call to plant the seeds. We have a call to water. We have a call to be the workers for the harvest. We have a call to believe. We have a call to be faithful. We have a call to do these things that we can't do by ourselves. That even in those moments, he brings the increase. He provides the workers. He is the God of the harvest. He is the one that saves souls. He is the one that brings us from death to life and out of our sins and into holiness. Again, Paul tells us, Ephesians 2:10, the very end of that section, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are called to be holy. We are called to be faithful. We are called to do good works. We are called to do the things, to invest in the people around us, to live that faith out, to share the good news. We are called to give to the work of the kingdom. We are called to do all of these things. But it is he who created us to do them. It is he who equips us to do them. It is he who allows us to do them. It is he who prepared those good works beforehand. It is he who equips and allows us to walk in them. He brings the increase. We remain faithful. And through all of that, we don't earn God's grace by doing the things that we are called to do. We do the things that we are called to do because God has given us grace. And that order of that is the most important part of that. That's why he is able to remain faithful when we are faithless, because it is not our faith that determines his faithfulness. It is not our faith that determines his grace. It is our faith that he has given us through his grace that saves us. So that's a lot of what we looked at over the week that we were at conference, a lot of what we were able to share. I was able to share some that week as well. John Adams wanted you guys to hear this as well. What is going on in the mission, what is going on, that you are an integral part of Village Missions work in rural communities, specifically Bangor right here. That God loves the people of Bangor. That he desires the people of Bangor to know him, to live their faith in him. And that you guys are the way that that is going to happen. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the video that Village Missions provided. I thank you for the mission that they are doing. I thank you that they have brought Hope and I and our family here to this place that we love, that we have a heart for, a desire to see you and the work that you are doing in here in Bangor. Lord, we pray that you would help us to remain faithful, that you would help us to live our faith, to stay in our faith, and that even when we do mess up, even when we do slip up, even when we do have those moments, that we know that you remain faithful. And all we have to do is get back up and keep going, and you will provide that path and that walk. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. It is nothing but the grace of you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that saves us. We thank you for all that. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened this far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.